Well, play, maestro.
It's time to start now.
I serve a risen Savior. How do you know that? Because He lives within my heart. First, second, and last verses, 132.
As we all stand, please. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice.
That's having some difficult time because of snow and blizzard conditions and ice and things of this nature. We pray that you might help folks in this time, and that you may give them strength and protection. We pray that you'll be with us in this time. I pray that we would hear from you, that you would speak to our hearts, that we may come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you may teach us, Lord, from the principles of your word what worship is all about. And we pray, God, that you will minister to us. Bless everything that's said and done, from the singing to the giving of the tithes and offerings to the preaching of your word. And may we give you praise and thanksgiving because you've seen fit to meet with us. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated and pray for the choir at this time.
Church hymnal, number 110, Heaven's Jubilee, number 110.
Sing that morning, we shall sing, Jesus sing.
singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Sing the down of the singing of the sacred hymn, rising for that jubilee.
Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. We begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost. Now the heavens sing, we understand what joy is through, with what shall be. Praising Christ and raging on heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. We begin to see.
Are we finished? I'm sorry. I'm so upset that these keys are hanging up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can't even make them ding this morning.
Number 114. Well, I've never been sorry. Number 114.
Right in the start of
been sorry. That I trust in His name. Every moment I find you exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry. That I trust in His name.
Fellowship song, there is power in the blood. Certainly is. Thank the Lord for that. 198 will stand, sing the first and the second, and fellowship, come back on the last.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood.
Thank you. May be seated.
singing today. And you pray for Miss Teresa. She's not feeling well. God, I told somebody we're going to have to put a quarantine sign outside on the door. Because there's a lot of people around here sick. Miss Beera's not here today. And you know Miss Beera's sick if she's not here. So let's pray for just everybody that's having problems with the croup or congestion or whatever. And pray it doesn't get into things like bronchitis and pneumonia and that type of thing. So let's pray for these things. And pray for Miss Teresa today.
They sent for Jesus, your friend's about to die. Though tarried, he's still far behind. So they laid Lazarus in the tomb and said their last goodbyes. Then coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not too far away. And he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time. I've struggled through life's deserts, they were oh so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die. Then I wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine? Then coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not so far away. And he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not too far away. And he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time. So when your feet get weary from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time.
So much for that good special today, sister. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4, John 4, and we're going to be looking again on the subject of worship. What does the Bible say about worship? John chapter 4. All right, John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with verse number 19. Terry moved because I can't hit her from here.
told me this morning, she said, in the back of the choir, she said, well, she said, I didn't hit you with a hymn book today. And so I appreciate that. I'm very grateful. But I guess she thought if she got in trouble, my swinging arm is not that good. So anyway, all right, John chapter 4, let's begin reading with verse number 19. Story is, of course, Jesus with the woman at the well there in Samaria. And we're going to look at again verse 19. It says, the woman saith unto him. Now, this is after the Lord has talked to her, has addressed her. She has come, as you know the story, she comes to get water at the noon hour, which is the hottest part of the day. And that's because she doesn't want to have to deal with the women from the city who will criticize her because she is in the old vernacular, an adulteress. She was a woman of ill repute, as they used to say. So instead of having to deal with all the looks and the disdain, she does not come early in the morning like the other ladies do when it's cool. She comes in the hottest part of the day to guarantee that she's not going to see anybody. Well, somebody's there waiting for her, and that's Jesus. It's like the song we heard just a few minutes ago. He comes right on time. And that's the way it was here with the woman at the well. So after they're talking about some things, we pick it up in verse number 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and teach us again this morning what it says in the Bible and teaches us about worship. And Father, we'll ask you to prepare our hearts that we may learn what it is to come into your house and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, be thou our teacher today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two great needs in church. Our churches need two things if they need anything. Number one, they need to learn true worship. Secondly, we need real revival. And I believe those two work hand in hand. And I think we see some things as we study this little passage, because in verses 19 through 24, and look, if you'll see, every time in just that few verses of Scripture, the word worship is used. Now, in six verses that I've read to you, the word worship or some form of worship is found 10 times. The number 10 in the Bible represents completion. It represents nothing lacking. Worship, if we enter into true worship, that's exactly true. Nothing is lacking when we come before the Lord and we worship Him. I've made the statement in these series of messages that no one but you can deter you from worship. You can't blame somebody else. You can't blame circumstances. You can't blame situations. If you and I are going to worship God, we must enter into a spirit of worship with the Lord, and we worship and focus our attention upon Almighty God. Now, let me share just a few thoughts with you before I actually get into what I want to deal with this morning. The word worship is interesting if you study it in the Bible, because there are many forms that you see the word worship. What I'm going to share with you, if you have a Strong's Concordance or a Cruden's Concordance or a Young's Concordance, you'll find probably pretty much the same information that I'm going to share with you, but let me share it with you anyway. The word worship itself is found in the Bible 108 times. Isn't that something? 108 times. The word worshipped, past tense, 70 times. The word worshipeth, as we use in the Old English, is found 6 times. The word worshiping, as in a continual process, worshiping is found 5 times in the Bible.
The word worshiper, singular, one person worshiping, is found twice. And the word worshipers, seven times. If you do the math, you should come up with 198 times in the Bible the word worship or a form thereof is talked about in the Bible. If something is talked about so much, there's got to be a reason. And there's got to be something God Almighty wants us to learn about the subject of worship. Now, again, if you were to go into a Strong's Concordance or one of the others that I mentioned, and if you did a word study, big $9.95 word for that's an etymology. But if you did a word study on the word worship, there are several meanings behind the word worship as you find it in the Greek, in the Hebrew portions of our Bible. Let me take a few minutes and share them with some of those with you because they're very interesting. Here's one version. Here's one definition of worship from the, if you will, original languages. This is all one definition here. To depress, prostrate, in homage to royalty or God. To bow self down. To crouch. To fall down flat. Humbly beseech. Do or make obeisance. Do reverence. Make to stoop. That's one definition. All right, let me give you another one. To carve, fabricate, or fashion. Now you say, well, what does that got to do with worship? But remember what God told the people of Israel not to do? Do not worship idols. How did you have idols? You carve, you fabricate, or you fashion idols. And we are not to worship things. You remember studying in the Bible, especially in the books of Kings and Samuel, it talked about those who worshipped in the groves. And what that meant was they'd go into the trees, into the forest area, and they would take, and I mean the children of Israel now, I'm not even talking about the other nations, but I'm talking about children of Israel, would go in and carve idols out of the sides of trees. And they would go to the groves. And you've read in the Bible where God commanded to destroy the groves. That's why he said destroy the groves, because they'd gone in and carved idols inside those trees. They didn't cut the tree down. They just carved an idol, and God was angry with that. So to worship means to carve or to fabricate or to fashion. A third definition of, and I like this definition for worship, to kiss. Like a dog licking his master's hand. Now those of you that have dogs, isn't it amazing how dogs are so loving? I make the analogy because I've had cats and dogs. And dogs are loving. They come to your feet. They'll crawl up in your lap. They'll slobber all over you. You know, just don't even. Last Sunday I was wearing a cream color suit last Sunday. I was going to, and we were getting ready to leave for church, and we don't have a dog anymore. There's a little dog up the road. And he'll see us coming. He'll barrel down the road. And so I was getting ready to get in. And I just went, uh-uh. Because I said, I didn't see that dog's muddy paws all over this cream suit. And I said, uh-uh. And he's just like, you know, like. And one time I was getting ready to go to school in the morning. I get ready to go out. And he had come to the gate. All right, we have a gate at the house. And he's just like, can I come? Can I come? Can I come? And I said, good morning. I don't even know what the puppy's name is. I said, good morning, puppy. And then here he is, and he takes off, because they're just, you know, you can't help but love these little animals. And, of course, we talk about the cats. Cats live for their own pleasure. You know, it's like, you come love me when I'm ready. You know, that's the way the cats do. But now the dogs are just, and it's interesting that it says that worship is defined in one of the old languages as being something that is to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. Do you remember the story when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus? And she said, my daughter is sick. Would you touch and heal her? And the Lord said seemingly a cruel thing. He said, no. He said, it is not meet for me to give bread from the master's table unto dogs. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs lick the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, was the Lord being cruel? No, he wasn't. He was testing this woman's faith, and she came through with an A+. And he turned around and he said, "Be it even as you so desire." And her daughter was healed. But I think that's interesting, because the loyalty of a dog and licks the hand, that's the way I ought to be. Can I say that? Can I say that I need to be like an old dog, and I need to be loyal to Jesus, and I need to lick his hands, and I need to fall down at his feet, and I need to worship him, and I need to thank him? Let me tell you why some of us are so crabby and grumpy. You know, why is it that sometimes on Sunday morning it's the biggest problem and the biggest difficulty to get to church? You know why? Because our flesh does not like Sundays. Now, my spirit loves Sundays, but my flesh doesn't like Sunday. Because Sunday means that this flesh has got to have a confrontation with God. And whether you realize or not, your flesh does not like it. Okay? That's why things happen. That's why your mind in church wanders. I guarantee you that when you're watching television, your mind doesn't wander like it does in church. I guarantee you when you get on the computer, it doesn't wander like it does in church. I wonder if that's why the psalmist said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." I wonder if that's why the psalmist back yonder wrote that great hymn. Because my mind and my heart, the flesh, is prone to wander. But that spirit hungers after the Lord. And what I need to do in worship is to let the man inside of me out. The spiritual man inside of me needs to come out and have the opportunity to worship the Lord. But my flesh is saying no. My flesh will let the mind will wander. The flesh will allow the eyes to shut and allow the snoring to take place. It will take many things, because this flesh is rebellious against God. And it does not want to worship the Lord. I always say, if you have trouble sleeping at night, get your Bible out. Because once you might be as wide awake, but you read a few chapters of that Bible, your flesh will say, "I don't like this." And then it begins to doze off. Just part of it. Because the flesh is against the things of the Lord. But we need to let that spiritual man on the inside out and let him have the opportunity to worship God. And so I like that definition, to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. Another definition is to revere or to adore. I am to adore the Lord. Part of my worship to God is to adore him, to worship him, to revere him. You ever heard people say, "He's the old man upstairs"? Not very reverent, is it? You say that in your day. Some of you now I can't say nothing about parents today, because parents today blow my mind. But there used to be the day you never would have gone up to your parents and said, "Hey, old man." You'd never live to tell tomorrow, would you? Now today, I hate to say what they call their parents, and the parents don't know what to do about it. They're just like, "Oh, okay." But you know what? We come to the Lord and we revere him. And we adore him. Or we should. And we treat him with respect. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That means holy. The name of the Lord is holy. And so some people say, "Well, you know, the old man upstairs, he did this and did that, you know, and all this sort of thing." No. He is to be revered and to be adored. And then another definition is this for worship: in the face of or in the presence of. Now, when you're ready to worship God, let me tell you where God will bring you. God will bring you into the presence of himself. Have you ever been, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in the presence of God? You say, "Well, I'm in the presence of God all the time." Well, you say, "Yeah, because the Bible says that the Spirit of God lives within me." That's right. You're right. But my question is, has there ever been a time where you have been so into the worship that you have with God that you feel like he's right there beside you and that you could reach out and touch him? Now, wait a minute. The verse said God's a spirit. That's right. He is a spirit. But you know what? There's just something about a presence. Have you ever been somewhere and you felt a presence of someone, and you turned around and someone was standing right beside you and you never saw them, but you felt their presence? then that's very possible to feel the presence of God. And so it talks about the in the presence of the Lord. And then the last definition means voluntary or arbitrary and unwarranted, which means when I come before the Lord to worship, I do so because not only do I want to, but I know I have to. Somebody said, well, take it or leave it. But if you want the relationship, and I think that's one of the problems that we have in so many of our churches today, we have people that have no concept of what it is to worship, they don't have any desire to worship, and they don't see the need to have worship. The divorce rate grows and grows and grows in our country. There are a multitude of reasons why divorces take place. I'm not here to evaluate that. But I am here, and I think I am safe to say in this regard that some divorces take place, maybe all divorces take place, because there's something that lacks in the relationship between two people and they begin to break apart. Wonder how many of us even know how far apart we might be from God Almighty and not know it. There are people who talk about they'll talk about having their homes broken up and have somebody cheats on them and all like that, and they'll say something like this. They'll say, well, I never saw it coming. Because if somebody's having a relationship with somebody else, then things can't be right with that mate. And I'm not being harsh, I'm not being ugly, because we can't be definitive on all things. But surely, if someone else is going out and giving their attention to someone else, you've got to feel the tension somewhere at home, even if you don't know what's going on. It's voluntary, it's arbitrary, it's unwarranted. You know that you want to do it, and you know you have to do it, and it is important to worship God, and we have to do that. We have to take some time and worship the Lord. Now, let me give you some things this morning, if I can. And I don't think I'm going to finish this. I'll finish it. I know I'll have to finish it next Sunday. But first of all, let's talk about some essential tools in worship. Now, here in John chapter 4, there were two things he talked about. He talked about the Spirit. This can be taken one of two ways, but both are very important when it comes to worship. One is the Holy Spirit. There can be no worship apart from the third person of the Trinity we call the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the Spirit of God is going to have to prepare my heart for worship. Two things will prepare my heart for worship. The Spirit of God is one of them. Okay? Now, for instance, I can't just let's say in the morning. Let's say you got some time, sometime tomorrow, and you say, okay, now I'm going to spend some time in my devotional time, and then I want to worship. So I get up, whatever time of day you have the opportunity to. You take your Bible, you put it down, you say, okay, there it is. I read a verse. Bless me. It ain't happening. It can't happen. Because I've got to get in that book, and I'm going to show that to you in just a few minutes. I've got to get in that book, and I've got to read that book, and that word of God's got to be sweet and precious to me. And then as the Spirit of God begins to minister, because one of the things, if you study the doctrine and teachings of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the Spirit of God is likened unto an eagle who takes and broods over her nest. And she broods over that nest until those eggs break apart, and she stays right with them through that whole process. The Holy Spirit is brooding over us in our devotional reading. And the Spirit of God, as we're reading His Word, and as we're loving on His Word, then the Spirit of God is brooding over us and loving on us and helping us to comprehend and to be blessed, so that when we get done with our time of devotion, then we're able to say, my, it was so wonderful to have that time of worship with God. Now, can I say this? Here's our problem. Most of us, This lifestyle that we're in is so busy, we don't take the time. I'm not going to say what I want to say. I do not want to say we don't have time, because the reality is we all have the same time in a day. We all got 24 hours. My problem is not the fact that I don't have the time. My problem is that I mismanage my time. You say, I don't mismanage my time. Yeah, we do. We really do. We all have busy schedules, but there is somewhere down the line, if we really meant to take and put God first, we would do it. But you know what? We get tired, we collapse, we fall in the recliner, we turn on the TV, we want to separate our brain from the world for a while. We want to get away from all of that. And I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that, but have we forgotten the need for worship with God? And we can worship Him not just in church, but we can worship Him in our personal daily devotions. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the precious Holy Spirit of God brings liberty. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." And it's the Holy Spirit that does that. So we who are saved are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We become kindred spirits through the Holy Spirit who unites our hearts together for worship. Now, something else that he talks about here. He talks about the fact of not only the Spirit of God here, the Holy Spirit of God, but then we could talk about our own spirit or our own attitude. Because our spirit and our attitude must be right for worship. Again, as I said a few moments ago, if I take the attitude, "Now God, bless me if you can," then that's not the right attitude. If I'm coming to worship and I say, "I want to worship you in spirit and in truth, and I want the right spirit, and I want my heart to be right so I can have some time of communion with you, God." Now, let me give you a $9.95 word. If you were to pick up a theology book, you would read something like this. Theology book would say that man is a trichotomy. A trichotomy means that man is made out of three composite parts: body, soul, and spirit. That's a man. That's a woman. We are three things: body, soul, and spirit. An animal would be a dichotomy. An animal has no soul. It has a spirit, if you will, because that's the spirit, that's its intensity, that's its attitude, whatever you want to call it, and its body. The spirit is that part of a man or a woman which brings about desire, determination, and emotion. Okay? That's that part of a person that when the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God ministers to your heart and to my heart, it penetrates it. Like the Bible talks about the Word of God being a sharp two-edged sword. And that is the impact. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God ought to make an impact on my life and on all of our lives as Christians. The Spirit is heavily linked to attitude. It is impossible to worship God with a bad attitude. Now, let's not even deal with bad attitudes toward people. Let's talk about, do we have a bad attitude with God? You say, "I don't have a bad attitude with God." Want to check that one out and make sure? There are times in my life, I have to be very honest with you, there are times where I get very frustrated. And I feel like, "Now, Lord, if you'll come down and sit down for a little while, we'll have a talk and I'll tell you exactly how my life needs to be run." You may not have that problem. That may not come across the realm of your reality too often, but sometimes it does mine. And that is not a good time to worship. Because I can't very easily worship if I'm saying to the Lord, "Now, Lord, I tell you what, now you really messed this thing up. Lord, I sure needed this particular situation." Have you ever said that about a job? Have you ever said that about some situation in your life? And you said, "Now, Lord, this needs to happen, and that needs to happen. You're not going to let it happen, and I don't know what your problem is, but I ain't happy about it." And it's just, if your flesh is going to have that reaction sometimes. You say, "Well, isn't that wrong?" Sure, it's wrong. But there's going to be a time where you have to realize it is wrong, then repent, then come to the Lord and say, "I'm sorry for that attitude, Lord. That was a wrong attitude." And then, guess what? you're getting ready for worship then. But you're not going to worship when it's like, now God, I'm just not happy with this and I don't like it and I don't know what your problem is, but Lord, you've got to snap to it. You say, I don't talk to the Lord that way. But our hearts sometimes reflect that. You know how hard it is to pray and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? I wonder about Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was in college. He was a very talented young man. Let me tell you how talented Jim Elliot was in college. He went to Wheaton College. Jim Elliot decided to go on the Wheaton College wrestling team. And Jim Elliot hated wrestling. But he became the champion of that district. And they called him, or they called him something along the lines we would call him. Remember that little old TV show cartoon thing called Gumby? Remember Gumby and Pokey? Remember, you could buy a Gumby doll. Remember that? And you could take a Gumby doll and you could bend him every way. That's what Jim Elliot was. He was a Gumby doll. Fellas get him down on the mat and they'd start turning him and he would pop his arms and legs out of joint. Couldn't pin him. Okay? He became state champ. And they asked, and in his memoirs, he talks about the fact that he said, why do I wrestle? He said, I wrestle because I am disciplining my body for service. No other reason. He was not trying to be state champ. He knew that the discipline that he put his body through for wrestling would help him when he went to Ecuador. Now, what about that? How many people are going to say, God, I'm going to put myself... Now, people came to Jim and said, you need to stay here in the States. You need to be a youth pastor. You need to pastor a huge church. You're so talented. Why are you going to waste all that you have going to the mission field? To those Ecuadorian Indians over there. Makes no sense. But you know what? That man and four other families went to Ecuador. And you know the story. They died. The men died. All of them were killed in the lagoon by the Ecuadorian Indians. And they were young men. And they died in 1950. And somebody said, what a waste. What he could have done in the States. Oh, his talents. Oh, his abilities. But you know, I've read some of the memoirs because he wrote everything down. He wrote diaries. And so Elizabeth Elliot, his wife, his widow, if you will, published lots of his writings. If you ever get a chance, you ought to get his books on his diaries. And I've never read any place where he said, Lord, this is not right. I have bad attitude. I went to college. I should be teaching as a professor in a Christian university. He never said, I never read anything like that. Because he just determined, this is God's will. Thy will be done. Help me to do what you want me to do. And I'm going to tell you something. That is not easy. Because you look and do you ever, don't, I don't want you to shake your heads, nod your heads or nothing. I just want you to think. Do you honestly ever teensy weensy little bit get jealous and envious of other people? Somebody else has this outlandish home, beautiful home. Somebody else over here has this fantastic job and everything they seem to touch turns to gold. And you could go on down the line with, I mean, do we ever just a little tiny itsy bitsy little bit become envious? And say, Lord, why don't you do that for me? I do right. I live right. I do the best I can. I try to serve you, and you don't understand it. And sometimes the attitude can get bad. And it's like, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this, but Lord, I'm praying, not my will, but thine be done. Help me to have the right attitude to worship. I'm going to tell you, this old flesh will give you a fit. This flesh been around a whole lot longer than the Spirit has in your life. That's why it's going to give you a fit. Do not think yourself strange. Do not think yourself some abnormality if your flesh gives you strange things. If your mind enters peculiar things, you are not crazy. You are flesh. And it will come. But it's like, Lord, I must worship you in spirit and in truth. And I need you to help that thing to be gone in my life. Attitudes must be right before worship can be felt. Now he said this, in spirit and in what? Truth. Now this can refer to two things. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. And you can't have worship without the Lord Jesus because he's the object of your worship. But I think we fully understand it also to mean that we're talking about God's Word. If you turned over just a few chapters, I'll not ask you to, but John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So I'm going to have something. So when it comes time to worship, there are two essential things about worship. There's got to be the Holy Spirit of God, and there's got to be the Word of God. Those two things are so important to actual, real worship. Our Lord makes reference to all of these things when it comes to true worship. He said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So our worship must be... Can I say this also about worship? That worship must be something that overwhelms and obsesses you. You've got to have everything out. The Spirit of God... I mean, again, let me ask you, when you have had times when you have been in that Word and it has become so sweet... And it has become so precious that you just, I mean, automatically maybe your hands just went up like that to worship. That's worship. Have you ever, in this context, listened to a good gospel song? Maybe on the radio, maybe on your CD or something, and that thing hits you, I mean, it hits you right. All of a sudden, your tears start coming down your face. Your hands go up. You can't say anything. But you just know this is the Lord. This is the Lord. I know Brother Buddy has seen this and heard this. I put it on my Facebook account, but I ran across Brother Chris McGee, and he had this neat song on there. Oh, I've already forgotten the name of it. Something about it had to do with just, you know, giving Jesus your all. And I clicked that thing on, and that thing got me, boy. I mean, it hit me right between the eyes. And I listened to that thing for 5 or 6 times. And it ministered to me, boy. And I worshiped. I took time to worship the Lord. I mean, sometimes those things happen. And when you do, you know what you need to do? You just go with it. Just go with it. Just be blessed. Just say, oh, this is Lord, you're ministering to me. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes we get into this thing where we just start saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. See? We just say that something. Gimme, 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 Lord. Gimme, 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 gimme. And you know what? We have taught a generation of people that that's just about everything prayer is. But if you come to the Lord to worship, you just put aside the gimmies. And you just start loving on the Lord. And you're absorbed in it and obsessed with it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, honey, you need to come get down here and do some praying until God ministers to you and you see what it's like to make love to Jesus. Because ain't nothing like it. And there's multitudes of Christians that have never experienced what I'm talking about on this thing of worship. They don't even have, they are clueless. You've got to lose yourself in this thing of the Spirit and the truth. I'm not talking about something mystical. I'm not talking about something magical, if you will. I'm just talking about the fact there's going to be sometimes you just set aside everything you get in that book and you ask God to... Because every time you pick up the Bible and read it, always pray and ask the Lord to teach you the Scriptures as you're reading it. Because if you don't, if you're like me, I read it and I say, what did I read? So I need to say, now Lord, I'm getting ready to read. My devotion, speak to my heart. And it just reads better. Right? Because sometimes I say, oh, I got to read this portion of Scripture today, and so let me start reading, and I get done. Okay, thank you, Lord. Amen. Shut the Bible and walk out the door. Well, just forget, if you can't get anything out of it, if somebody says, what'd you get out of your devotion? I don't know. I don't even remember what I read today. Something's, you know, no worship was there. No worship was there. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now let me show you a second thing. I'm going to touch this and I'm going to be done, and I'll finish this next Sunday morning. I have one more important area that I need to talk about, and I'll do that next Sunday morning. But let's talk about just really quickly essential times for worship. When can I worship the Lord quickly? Here's some people in the Bible that worship God at very inconvenient times. Now, we already looked a few weeks ago at Genesis chapter 22 about Abraham. Abraham worshiped the Lord in the midst of sorrow. You can't tell me he was jumping for joy when he was taking his son up Mount Moriah to kill him on that altar, sacrifice. You can't tell me he was in the midst of comfort right there. But you know, the Bible said in that fifth verse, and he said, we go yonder to worship. In the midst of sorrow, Abraham worshiped God. I've been in some funerals of some of God's saints where you thought you was at a camp meeting instead of a funeral, because God's Holy Spirit met and came down. If we went over to 2 Samuel 12 and verse 20, we'd see that David worshiped during grief. Remember that baby dying? What was the result of that? But he says, what did David say? David says, he's not coming back to me, but I can go to him. And the result of that was the wonderful 51st Psalm. That's worship. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah worshiped God in the midst of God's glory. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and he worshiped the majesty of Jesus Christ. And Daniel worshiped the Lord every day of his life. You say, how do you know he did? Because the Bible says every day of his life he went to his bedchamber and he opened the windows toward Jerusalem and he got down and he prayed and worshiped the Lord three times a day. And even when he knew it meant his life and the soldiers were waiting to arrest him, as you remember the story of him in the lion's den, he still went. Even though it was a mandate by the king, he didn't care. He went in, opened the windows, worshiped, and they came in because they knew that that was the only way they were going to get through and arrest David, was in the law concerning him and his God. He worshiped every day. What's the right time to worship? May I say this with respect? Anytime. Say, I can't worship during grief. Well, David did. I can't worship with a broken heart. Abraham did. I get too emotional, excited. I can't focus. I can't. Isaiah did. I can't make it. I can't discipline myself to make it part of my daily life. Daniel did. What have I said so many times? What is the only thing, who is the only person that can hinder me from worship? Right here. Share this and then we'll close and I'll finish what I need to finish next week. But I got a young man at the Bible college in Greensboro. This young man, he's married and he's got his own business and very talented young man. And I have a philosophy in Bible college. I look at young men and young ladies, and there are some people that come and there's some, especially we have some people that are on up in years and they come and they've been out of school for years and they do the best they can, but they struggle. And I work with people like that all the time. I give them every grace in the world because they come to me and say, Brother Moore, we can't do this. This is too hard. I said, let me tell you something. I said, when you were in school, in high school, I said, you were there because you had to be. I said, you've chosen to come here, which means that part of your learning process is that you have the desire to learn, and that desire to learn is going to take you farther than you'll ever understand. I said, no matter how, because they try to think I'm too old and I can't learn. But I said, if you have placed yourself here and you have come here and you're putting forth all the effort to come here, I said, you can learn, I said, because desire is overtaking any limitations you may or may not have. But then there are some young men that I've seen in years of Bible college that, for lack of a better word, you're going to think I'm real cruel for saying this, but I want to bust them in the chops. Now, I want to tell you what I mean by that. I'm not talking about physical anything. I'm talking about, you know why a drill sergeant does what he does in the Army? Because he wants to bring out the potential and possibility in a person. And I see some young men, and there's one young man I'm talking about, he does not like any corrections. He'll turn in his work if he wants to. It's usually late. And so I'm tough on this boy. I'm tough on him because I know he has the ability to do better than he's doing. If I knew that was the best he could give me, that'd be one thing. But I know it's not. And I'll tell him to his face. Because he'll come to me and he won't like because he turned in a test and he left a major portion out and I circled the directions. Well, he wanted to argue with me. I said, do you see the directions? And I circled with my red pen and I said, see that? You didn't do that? That cost you 25 points. He wanted to argue that point. He wanted to argue. I said, sorry, that's what I wanted. You didn't give it. I didn't give him a bit of slack because I knew this young man has the potential to do something for the Lord. And somebody's got to hold him accountable. Now, if I'm one of his teachers, then I'm going to hold him as accountable as I can in certain areas. And buddy, and after I taught him, it was so funny because that was the first class. Then the second class I had him, he gave me looks, boy. He was like that. And I'm sitting, I'm laughing because I'm thinking, you can pout up all you want to, big boy. I ain't letting up. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron, Proverbs said. And if you're going to be what you need to be for the Lord, if I'm going to be what I need to be from the Lord, I've got to learn that no matter what my situation is and where I am and what I'm going, somebody says, you just don't know the circumstances I'm under. Somebody said, well, then get on top of them. And I have to learn this thing of the Christian life. We've made this thing of the Christian life, folks, in the 21st century. We live in mamby-pamby Christianity. This Christianity has always been and always will be tough. Does 6th chapter of Ephesians mean anything to you? The warfare, the armor of God? Why do you talk about a warfare? It's not talking about a play. What is that old song, Miss Teresa? It's not a recreation room. It's the real thing. It's not a game. This thing is the real thing in the Christian life. And we come in and we okay, I'm here. What you going to do for me today? How am I going to be entertained? That's what so much church is today. It's entertainment. No, you come, you hear, you listen, you pray, you worship. Then you're ready to go out that door. Because if you go out the door the same way you came in today, you might be in bad shape this week. God help us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Worship Him. Let's bow for prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll teach us in the importance of worship. Help us to learn. Help us to see the need to worship. How convinced I am that so many people in our churches all over the world come in, have no clue what it is to worship, have no understanding what it is to worship. God, teach us to worship. Prepare us to worship. Help us to worship. Help us to understand this concept of worship. There's somebody here lost. They cannot come to worship if they don't know the Lord and be saved. I pray for somebody here lost. They'll get saved by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So speak to our hearts and help us. And again, teach us what it means to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number
166, Cleanse Me. Number 166. We all stand, please.
Close our eyes, ask our sister to play. Are you ready for worship? Is your heart ready for worship? Would you come today and say, Lord, help me worship you in spirit and in truth? It's very important. I read somewhere that said that worship is God, the Holy Spirit inside of you crying to get out. Will you let Him out? Has there been one time in your life that you have actually spent time with worship and worshiping the Lord? Or is that thing just totally clueless to you? Bless you. We'll let you be seated and ask Brother Julius and Brother Will to come and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings today. If you have to give, then God bless you for that. Brother Julius, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the message today, Lord.
You will see you at 2 o'clock.